get started.
I hope it records clearly. My voice in the last few months has gone raspy.
Yeah, it's going
to
be...
I'm struggling to live with that.
It's going to be fantastic. All right, so Mort Sogard, why did you become a docent?
I have always had a great appreciation of airplanes.
Okay, yeah.
Matter of fact, that's how I became a docent. Driving up Crenshaw one afternoon, a P-51 came in and landed at the airport. And my car automatically turned left, and I followed it, and I hunted it down, and I found it parked right here. It's part of the museum.
Okay. What year was that?
That was 07.
Okay.
2007.
Gotcha. And so you wanted to become connected to the museum at that point, or...?
Well, the old airplanes are fascinating.
Okay.
Just, you know, the World War II airplanes are a great fascination for me, but flying in general.
Okay.
Although I am not a pilot, I had a bit of a few lessons when I was in high school, and then in college, my degrees are in aeronautical engineering.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So I did some flying in college.
Yeah. Where did you go to college?
University of Michigan.
Oh, Big Blue, huh? Go Blue. Yeah. Go Blue, is that right?
Go Blue.
Go Blue. Go Blue. Yeah, yes. And so not a big Ohio State fan?
How'd you know? That's a lucky guess.
Yeah, just you know, a shot in the dark there.
Whenever I have anything with M on it, someone from Ohio State comes sounding up.
And vice versa, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's
a great college rivalry, and I enjoy it. But,
you know,
I hate it when they win. Anything.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, you know, didn't Michigan just take a run at the NCAA basketball tournament?
Yeah, they got to the Final Four.
Okay, well.
But they couldn't get by whatever team they lost.
I lost track, yeah. okay, well, what years were you at UM, or in Michigan, University of Michigan?
54 through 59.
Okay, 54 through 59. Aeronautical engineering?
Yes.
That must have been a pretty exciting time for the...
Very.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I remember the day the Soviets launched Sputnik.
Okay.
And that really had a jarring... 58.
58.
That had a jarring effect on... Like, I was in aeronautical. But at the time, Michigan was switching their curriculum to astronautical.
Okay.
Aero and astro.
Okay.
And so I was immediately started taking up classes on orbital mechanics and reentry and things like that, a little bit more in space.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Let's circle back to your time as a docent. What is your favorite thing about being a docent? What do you enjoy the most?
Well, it has evolved to, I helped set up the space display here.
Okay.
The launch vehicles, the Apollo program, the space shuttle, and satellites. And
okay.
Now when tourists come in, I generally am concentrated in that area when I talk to the kids about just that, launch vehicles, how they grew up in Los Angeles area, and the importance of the aerospace industry to Los Angeles. And then I just like it when the main tour groups are school kids.
I think that's really, okay, and the school kids, of course. I think that's really fascinating, and I'd really like to compliment the kind of correlation that you have there to the L.A. area, right? Because they're L.A. kids, right? They're kids from the schools, and you draw that correlation connection for them.
Yeah,
I think that's fantastic.
The opening comment is we want to introduce space to them, but we also want them to know that this museum is dedicated to the aerospace industry in Los Angeles area.
Right,
so we try to make the connections. When we show the launch vehicles, we emphasize those that were built or designed in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And the satellites.
Interesting.
We try to make that tie.
All right. So your focus is on the space display, getting the kids to understand that, hey, this is about Southern California.
Southern California aerospace industry.
Yeah. And when you say launch vehicles, can you amplify that for me? What are launch vehicles?
Well, that's the rockets that do the launching of the satellites.
Gotcha. Okay.
And there's many companies in Los Angeles that were prime in designing and building the launch vehicles.
Okay. What were those companies?
The Douglas Company.
Okay.
Was key in designing the Delta launch vehicle.
Okay. Delta.
And the Titan. Well, the Titan was kind of an outlier. It was designed in Denver.
Okay.
But much of the subcontracting came from Southern California.
You know, that's really interesting because I always wondered about that because I grew up in Long Beach right across from Vet Stadium. And, of course, remember the old McDonnell Douglas buildings and whatnot.
Right.
So, when we were kids, we'd hop over a fence, if there was even a fence, and we'd always go investigate. Sometimes they were building turbines. Sometimes we'd always wonder what they were building. I wonder if they were building launch vehicles around there at that time or not.
McDonnell Douglas built their launch vehicles primarily down in Seal Beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In that area. And Boeing was down there. And Rockwell.
Yeah.
So they all combined. But the Delta launch vehicle was heavily developed. A lot of that stuff came from near Veterans Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was much of that was aircraft.
We saw mostly planes. Seemed like they were building mostly planes and jets. So I think I can take a guess at what your answer will be to this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is your favorite thing or exhibit at the museum?
At the end of the space display, we work our way around.
Great.
And I talk to the kids about the moon, the Saturn, the Apollo program.
Mm-hmm.
And I show them the launch vehicle. I show them the satellites that the astronauts, they sat in on their way to the moon.
Yeah.
And I talk about the mechanics of that, the Apollo capsule and how the astronauts in and out and how they landed.
Okay.
And then I go over to talk about the space shuttle, because we have a space shuttle here in Los Angeles.
Yep.
We're very lucky to have that.
Absolutely.
And so I encourage them to go to the California Science Center and see the shuttle, but I show them what it looks like and what it does. But then I like to go over and talk about the various satellites that came from the Los Angeles area.
Okay.
But my favorite satellite, and to answer your question, is the Hubble Space Telescope.
Okay.
Because the younger kids don't have much of an appreciation for space and what is out there. So I'll show them the Hubble Space Telescope, and I'll describe why a telescope is much more efficient operating in space outside the atmosphere.
Okay.
And then I have a book. I show them the pictures that have come from the Hubble Space Telescope.
Yeah.
And they're astonished to see not only their solar system with the sun and the planets, but the galaxy that our solar system lives within, the Milky Way, because that's big.
Yeah.
And then we talk a little bit about the concept of a galaxy, and then we talk about, and I'll show them photographs from the Hubble.
Yeah.
And there's billions of galaxies out there. So it becomes, and it's so interesting, the five-year-old kids tend to not understand, but the 7-8-year-old kids, they really are fascinated.
Yeah.
They've never seen a Hubble picture before. They're just kind of aghast to see all these stars. And what does it mean? How far away?
Yeah.
And what's beyond the stars?
Okay.
And then I kind of remind them, if they're approaching high school, you might consider, if you're really interested in this subject, you could consider a career in astronomy or astrophysics. And I try to get them thinking about they could participate in space if possible. And I just love to see the expression on the kids' face.
Yeah.
Because they just open up.
Yeah, to see them get excited.
Yeah, that's a very, very exciting subject for them to hear and to talk about.
So you acknowledge that there could be a future for them in astronomy,
or astrophysics. They're very closely related when you're talking about working in space.
And I think that's great, because oftentimes I feel like we kind of, I don't know, not necessarily talk down to kids, but we don't give kids enough credit for how
you can tell. If there's a group of 8 kids sitting there, 2 of them are picking the daisies.
Yeah.
Another 3 or 4 are listening, but there's a couple that they're just eyes bing. Open, bing. Yeah. And you can tell when it goes bing, because they start asking questions. They ask very intelligent questions.
Good, good.
And it's fun to see them starting to think about doing something different, which is what we like to do with the kids here on all the stops.
All right, yeah. Well, that's what I like to hear. That's great stuff. So I heard that you saw a P-51 flying over. That was in 2007. My suspicion is that you were already in love with aviation. When did your love of aviation begin?
First airplane ride I had, I was probably about 10 years old. A neighbor had a plane, and we went out to an air show in Detroit.
Okay.
And that was fascinating, the first time I ever flew in a small plane.
So you grew up in Detroit, the Michigan area?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're a Michigan man.
Yeah, although I've been here since 59.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But
so you came out right after your undergraduate?
Yes.
You graduated and then came out to Southern California for work?
Yes.
Okay.
This is where aerospace industry was located.
Of course, yeah.
And I took a summer job in the summer of 58. And we rented a place on the beach in Malibu.
Wow, and living the dream.
That was, I said, wow. When I first came into L.A., it was all palm trees and the ocean and the beach and Malibu.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't go back to Ann Arbor and live the rest of my life back there. Lovely city, but 6 to 8 months a year, it's not the beach.
And then, of course, to be a part of a wildly expanding industry, I'm sure was an
exciting
time.
Yeah. When I took my first job at TRW, I worked on the Apollo program.
TRW, I heard about that. That's a space influence company that you started working with, TRW. Okay, I just wanted to write that down.
Working on the Apollo program, it was an exciting time.
Yeah, what years was that?
I joined TRW in 66.
Okay.
And
there's a couple different Apollo programs, or what Apollo program are you referencing specifically?
There was one Apollo program
for many.
There was like 17 launches.
Okay, yeah, so multiple launches.
From one until the last six were moon landings. But it was an exciting time. I spent 6 months in Houston, and I got to know the astronauts.
Oh, wow.
And it was
Is that a fact? Yeah, you spent time with the astronauts. That's incredible.
My job at TRW.
Yeah. Okay. 10 years old. You took your first plane ride at an air show?
Yeah.
What'd you ride?
It was probably a Cessna, four-seater.
Okay.
I believe it was a Cessna.
Air show.
At that time, I never asked. I just wanted to go for a ride.
Yeah, okay. And so that kind of, you got bit, the bug?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. If you could choose one aeronautical device to fly in, right? So space shuttle, plane, jet. If you could choose one to fly in, which would it be and why?
I've already flown in it.
What is it?
B-17.
And why?
Because it was history. I had read a lot about the World War II contribution to B-17 and those young American pilots flying in Europe.
So, again, I have to apologize. I'm still learning a lot. The B-17 was a bomber?
It's a four-engine bomber.
Four-engine means four props?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prop bomber. And so you had heard about it historically? You had already...
I've seen it fly.
Okay.
But until I joined the museum, has got every couple of years they have visiting groups that bring in World War II aircraft.
Yeah.
A B-17, a 24, and a B-25, and a P-51. And they sell rides, but they're on demo. You can crawl through them and you can talk to the crew. And so that ride in the B-7, my first, I got to say, when you said the ride, I remember, I had a ride in a P-51 also.
Okay.
And that was astonishing, but it might be getting too much material, but my first ride in a World War II aircraft was a P-51.
Okay.
And it was a guy who, just a friend of a friend. And he made it known, anyone who wants to fly with me, you pay the gas and we'll go flying.
Right. Well, he just probably like,
for
yeah, he's
200
like
bucks, I flew around for maybe an hour and a half around LA base. It was wonderful.
So when did you take the P-51 ride?
That was, I'm guessing, 1985.
Yeah, what do you remember most about that ride? Anything about the sounds of the plane? Anything about
the sound and the acceleration.
What do you, oh, so the acceleration...
When he first took off, it was just so powerful. And then he looped around the field, I think it was Fullerton. Mm-hmm. And he came back and he flew about 10 feet off the ground, the length of the runway.
Right.
And yeah. I heard the guys in the tower say, "Oh my God, look at that."
Yeah.
And it was so much power and feeling and the sound. P-51 is a beautiful airplane.
Okay, yeah. What was the P-51 primarily used for in the war?
It was a fighter
to
accompany the B-17 bombers primarily.
Right.
When they flew to Europe, because they were stationed in England.
Okay.
And the bombers could not make it all the way to their target and back. There was no no fighter that could accompany them that far.
All right.
So the P-51's job was to protect the B-17.
Okay, yeah. And when you flew in the B-17, so I'll say that was about 85. When did you fly in the B-17? Was that recent? More recent?
That was probably 5 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So like one of the museum events you kind of,
It still comes back every couple of years.
I think they just kind of had that event recently.
They had it, about a month ago.
Yeah.
It was a different group. There are two groups that have got World War II planes that tour the country.
Yeah.
And this one is... It's the first group. It's called the Experimental Aircraft Association. They own planes and they fly around and they tour people. That's just to get people familiar with the planes.
Cool. Do you remember anything specific from your flight in the B-17? Was it loud? Was it cold? Was it fast?
It wasn't as cold in Southern California.
Yeah, well, it was probably
as it was in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those young pilots, I heard stories about, because they're flying.
Well, they would go off, so.
Yeah, they were flying at 25,000 feet, mm-hmm. and all they had on was their winter coat. They had a
flight jacket.
Heaters on board, but they still froze.
Yeah.
Here it was the thing I remember, the B-17. And this is just information for you. When we took off, The crew on board said, "Okay, there's about 8 passengers. All you guys are going to want to rotate through the nose because that's the fun spot.
Okay.
Set up right up in front of the bubble."
Yeah.
And everyone rotated up, and then everyone sat back down in their seats. And the nose was empty, so I went up and sat for the whole ride.
Oh, wow.
I was about a half hour sitting in the nose flying down to Newport and back up the coast and Palliser.
Best seat in the house, huh?
Best seat in the house, and it was really exciting. What a view of Los Angeles.
Wow, so you guys went all the way down to like the back bay. So you flew around John Wayne and all that, yeah.
Yeah, we got down about to John Wayne, but they got down almost down to Newport.
Yeah, how high did they? Do you remember what altitude they took it to? Probably not too high.
No, 2,000 feet.
All right, yeah, okay. Ben, do you have a favorite story or experience with aviation? Could be maybe a commercial flight, something kind of silly happened, or something from your experiences in the industry that's happened that you'd like to highlight?
When I think back about highlights, of course, riding those two airplanes.
Okay.
But when I was... working on a space shuttle mission. I was working on flight planning. I was working with the astronauts, and I got to be very good friends with one astronaut, as Alison Onizuka.
E-L-L-I-S-O-N?
E-L-L-I-S-O-N, I believe.
Okay, Onizuka?
Onizuka.
A-N-A-Z?
It's O-O-N-A.
Z-U-K-I,
I think, but he's all over
here.
I'll
look it up. Yeah, I'll look.
Because the air base that's up in San Jose now is Onizuka Air Force Base.
Gotcha, okay.
But he flew on the Challenger that exploded on the liftoff.
So, go ahead.
That was a very sad day.
Yeah, I went to a middle school that was named after the female teacher, Krista McAuliffe.
Yeah, McAuliffe.
Yeah, I went to McAuliffe Middle School.
So you had some association with...
Folks familiar with the
Challenger.
Yeah.
And that was just a very, very sad day because I was working at TRW at the time. and I was walking into work, and I was going into work to watch the launch. And I got into work right after it exploded. And it was just an astonishing impact.
So you said, so Onizuka was on, he was on the Challenger.
He was on the Challenger. Probably sitting right next to McCullough. Ellison was what they call a mission specialist, so he got the two crew guys sitting up front, and then the next two seats are mission specialists, where they are communicating. They're out working the mechanics of the flight.
Yeah, yeah.
When they open up the shuttle bay and the payload is released,
sure.
They're orchestrating that process. There you go. But Onizuka had flown on an earlier shuttle flight, which I worked with him on that one, so I got to know him there.
All right. What kind of guy was he?
Very, very friendly.
Yeah.
Very, I went to breakfast with him a couple of weeks before the Challenger flight.
Wow.
And he did things like told me about his girls' soccer game, and because he had two daughters and they both played soccer. He was interested in talking about that type of thing.
Yeah. But you were a close friend. You guys were close. If you were talking family.
Yeah, probably as close a friend with him as I was with any of the astronauts.
Wow. Yeah, well,
as far as the TRW group, yeah, he and I were fairly close.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for the loss of everyone, but in particular the loss of a friend. Yeah, I'm sorry about that experience and whatnot. I think tough to end on a tough note there, but I think I got everything I need. Is there anything else that you're more than welcome to add? Anything else that you'd like to, in terms of your experience here being a docent, your experience in aviation, anything else that you think is pertinent or important?
Well, I go back thinking about my experiences, and I had a lot of good experience and worked with a lot of really good people.
Good, yeah.
As I say, I spent 6 months in Houston. I spent 2 years in Australia.
Interesting.
Satellite operations. And that was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Just because Australia is a fun country to live in.
Yeah, I have a good friend that lives in Sydney.
Okay. That was a lot of fun.
So the community, right? So it sounds like you were really connected to the community and the folks.
Yeah, I would say I still have some good friends. And
I think that's great, because I feel like there's a bit of a community here at the museum, and you're kind of keeping that alive and keeping it...
She does.
Yeah, well...
She's so good at what she does.
Well, I know she appreciates the effort that you're making here, and so I just want to thank you for the interview, and...
You're welcome.
We got what we need. I'm going to turn this off.